Mountain Valley Chapel, how are we doing this morning? Praise the Lord. Yes. Eric and the worship team, thank you this morning for your commitment to worshiping the Lord and helping us enter into His presence. That was just, I'm still, heavy. Right, Joe? Heavy. So good. God is so good.
Heavenly.
That's good. I like that. That's good. Oh, man. God is good. Hey, this morning, we're going to continue. As we're walking through, we're in this series called Foundations. And again, I just want to remind all of us why we're here. Why are we talking about these things? It is my heart and what I feel that God has called me. Can we turn me down? I'm pitching a little bit. But as we step into this new chapter, this new adventure here at Mountain Valley Chapel, I'm convinced what God's heart is for us is to be the people that He's called us to be and to do the work that He's called us to do. And again, that goes back to this idea of being a type of people who build on a strong and solid foundation. And of course, that foundation is Jesus. If we build on any other foundation other than Jesus, it will fail. If we try to do anything by our own strength, it will fail. I'm reminded of that this morning as I was in worship. And Sergio, thank you for that prayer, just the weight being lifted off. When we do things by our own might, when we do things by our own strength, there is a weight that comes with that. But this morning when I was in the shower, that's where I do a lot of my talking with Jesus. It's a holy place. He reminded me that His burden is light. We find rest for our souls when we put our trust and faith in Him and the work that He has for us. He does have work for us to do, but He promised us that that burden is light. It is light. And when we operate out of our own strength, we create that burden. We create that extra weight. And I was reminded this morning, again, 2 Corinthians, where Christ tells Paul, as Paul was trying to have this thorn removed from his side, whatever that is, we don't know what that is. Some scholars believe he was losing his sight, whatever it is. We all have those seasons where we just feel like there's a thorn and we want it removed. And three times Paul asked to have it removed. And Christ's answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in your weakness." And so I'm just grateful and thankful today that we don't have to do this by ourselves. We don't have to do this on our own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit living in us to accomplish what Christ has called us to do. But we also need each other. That's what the church is here for, to encourage and equip each other to do the work of the ministry. And so I want to remind us of that today, because I needed that reminder this morning. I want us to be a church that builds on the foundation that is Jesus. Because Jesus says when we do that, we are a wise man. Or woman, of course. Which also begs the question that if those that build the house on the rock, which is Jesus, they are wise men, the other side of that is foolish people. I don't want to be a people that are foolish. So this morning, before we get in, I just want to remind us all, don't do it by yourself. Lean in, trust in the Lord Jesus. I know there are people in this room. I can feel the weight that you are carrying. Surrender it to Him today. Surrender it to Him. Give it to Him. Let Him take it. Because His burden, His yoke, is easy and light. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank You that Your yoke, Your burden, is easy and light. Father, forgive us for when we get in the way, when we try to do things, when we think we know better than You do. Thank You for reminding me of that this morning, where Your way is always best. Help me, Lord, to trust in you. Remind me, Lord, of your goodness. And as we were singing this morning, Jesus, you are the name that is above all names. And is at your name every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every knee will bow and confess you as Lord. Because that is who you are. You are Lord Jesus. Remind us of that this morning. Remind us that you've already done the work. It was accomplished. It was finished on the cross. Not by our strength, Lord, but yours. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Again, Christ does call us to work because he has a mission that he wants fulfilled. And he wants to use us to fulfill that mission. He wants to use you personally to fulfill that work. And again, as a way of reminder, the Great Commission, which is the mission of Mountain Valley Chapel, make disciples. Make disciples. That is what this series on foundations is all about. We're getting back to the roots of disciple making. What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to make disciples? And Jesus tells us, again, back in Matthew, those who hear these words of mine and act on them. It's not enough just to hear what Jesus has to say. We need to do what he calls us to do. He is our Lord. He is the one that gives us the marching orders. We are his followers, his disciples. He is the master. And he has work for us to do. And he wants us to tell others about that work. One, the gospel, the salvific work that he did and accomplished on the cross. But number two, as we make that choice to follow him, trust him, give our lives to him, he wants us to teach others to observe everything that he's commanded us to do. And so in this series, we're talking about the things that Jesus told us to do. And we've simplified these things into 10 things, because otherwise we'd be like the Israelites who had 10 things and then they wanted a few more and then there were 613 of them. I just want to focus on a relationship with Jesus. And I want to focus on relationship with people. And these 10 things, as we talk about them, are things that Christ himself not only modeled in his own life, but charged his disciples to do as well. And as we practice these things, as we do these things, because that's what Christ commands us to do, is to teach others to do these things. As we live them out in our own lives, we fulfill the mission that Christ called us to do, which was to make disciples. And again, the way we do that here at Mountain Valley Chapel through the vision that God's given us is we do it by loving God with our heart, soul, mind, strength, everything that we have. Because it's the greatest command. But then we also love people. We love people. And again, as we live these out, we complete, we accomplish, we fulfill that goal. We cannot do it by ourselves. We need God. We need Jesus. We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. This is the foundation we are laying as we move forward in this next season. To where my heart is that all of us would begin doing what Jesus commanded us to do. And for those that have already been doing this, that you would continue doing those things. But then I would want to challenge and encourage you to take the next step and show others how to do these things. I mean, I look at the Johnson family because they're massive, but there's young people who want to follow Jesus. And they're looking for the example. They're looking for the example. Parents, you are your kids. I mean, that is a discipleship group right there. It requires us doing what God said to do. We need him in our lives. So as we talk about these commands that Christ gives us, we're not just talking about these to talk about them. I'm not up here just trying to give good sermons so you'll like me. That was a joke. But it's true. But it's true. God did not call me here to just give good messages. I believe God has called Megan and I and our family here is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry and to change this valley for Christ Jesus. I cannot do that on my own. It is going to take each and every single one of us, which is why just a few weeks ago we talked about that very thing, that all of us have a role and a part to play. And that role and that part includes living out these things in our lives. It's just a part of it. So far, we've talked about these three: surrender, talk, and listen. And last week, I showed this diagram. What this involves is it's the foundation for your daily relationship with Jesus. It is foundational for loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. If you want to grow in the Lord, as Paul himself said, is the most important thing is to know Christ and him crucified. It requires surrender in your life. It requires talking to him on a daily basis. It requires listening to the Father, primarily through the word that he's given us, the Bible. And so I've encouraged all of you, wake up every single day. Wake up every day. Lord, I'm yours. That's all surrender is saying, I'm yours, Lord. And it's approaching God's word, not to just try to get some nugget out of it, but to really meet with the Father. I was talking with Scott about this. This book is the only book that we can come to meet our Father, because they're his words. He wrote this book. And there are a lot of great books out there, and I can hear God through those books. I can experience things. He can teach me things through, but they're not his written word. And so when we come to God's word, we come with the heart attitude of, speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. And if he gives you something, talk to him about it and ask him, what do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? This is foundational for growing our relationship with Jesus, surrendering to him every day, talking to him every day, listening to him every day. Today we're going to talk about one that, I'll be honest with you, when I first was introduced to this idea of doing what Christ commands us to do as a way of discipleship, I wasn't sure about this one. At first, it didn't make sense. But as I've grown in Christ and as I've helped disciple others, I've found out this is one of the most important things that we need to do as a follower of Jesus. And it's to remember. Remember. And I know for some of you who don't have a good memory, Jeff, I'm not calling anyone out specifically. Jeff raised his hand. But this call, this command to remember is so important. In fact, it is so important that God himself, he's commanded us to remember him nearly 200 times in Scripture, where God gives a command to remember him. The word alone, remember, through with the Hebrew and Greek, you can see this word remember transliterated over nearly 250 times. And this isn't counting all the other times in Scripture where it says, don't forget, keep in mind, meditate, dwell. All these things have to do with this act of remembering. God took it very seriously. He wanted his people to remember him. In fact, when God would charge or call his people to remember him, he would usually do so by attaching whatever it is he wants them to remember with some kind of physical object or event or action that he wanted them to take place. I'll give you just a few. The Teflon. Tefillin. Some of you might not know what this is. How many of you guys have ever seen those little boxes that Jewish people wear right here on their, in where their elbow bends and on their forehead? Have you ever seen these pictures before? Do you know why they wear those? All it is a prayer box. It's remembering. Inside these little boxes are written on tiny pieces of paper, scrolls written with God's laws on them. And the reason they do this is because of Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God is speaking. He says, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart, to be remembered. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you are in your house and sitting, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on your doorposts of your house and on your city gates. The Israelites took this so seriously that they crafted something to remind themselves that the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And so you can see this still practiced today in Jewish culture. During the morning prayer, they will strap on that leather strap with a box placed right here, and they will place it to their heart. And they will place one on their forehead as a reminder to them of who God is and his word. They will etch on their doorposts in their house, and when they leave, scripture to remind them to keep God first when they're coming in and when they're going away. They took it seriously to remember God. Passover. Passover. In Exodus chapter 12. I don't need this. Exodus chapter 12, verse 18. Now, we know what Passover is, but those that don't, this was the last of the great plagues that God performed while his people were enslaved in Egypt. This would be the last one. And God charged the Israelites to take the blood of a lamb, mark it on their doorposts, so that when the angel passed through and see the blood, it would what? Pass over. That's why they call it Passover. It would pass over. And any house that was found without that, the angel would come and kill the firstborn. And God commanded the Israelites that this Passover, which is their most famous, most important of all feasts and festivals that the Israelites keep, God charged them to remember it. Exodus 12, 18, you are to eat unleavened bread in the first month from the evening to the 14th day of the month until the evening of the 21st day. And he charged them to do this and to remember this forever. He said this would be a lasting ordinance forever. And we too celebrate this, do we not? We too celebrate Passover. I mean, last week we took communion, right? Why do we take communion? The answer's on the screen. To what? To remember Christ in his sacrifice. And so, during that time, Easter is when we celebrate Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And it is marked and symbolized with communion. Christ himself said, "Do this in remembrance of me." One last one real quick. Old Testament, Joshua. As Joshua is getting ready to go into the promised land and take the land. In Joshua chapter 4, God gives Joshua a charge. I'll just read this quickly. In Joshua chapter 4, the story is that God would lead his people over the Jordan River. Just like the Red Sea, he parted the Red Sea and the Israelites escaped Egypt on dry ground. God would part the Jordan River. He would hold the water back. And the people were to cross the Jordan into the promised land on dry ground. In Joshua 4, it says, "After the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing, carry them with you, and set them down at the place that you will spend the night.'" So Joshua summoned the 12 men he had selected from the Israelites, one man from each tribe, and said to them, "Go across to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you lift a stone onto your shoulder, one of each of the Israelite tribe, so that this will be a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean to you?' You should tell them, 'The water of the Jordan was cut off in front of the ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan water was cut off. Therefore, the stones will always be a memorial, a remembrance for the Israelites.'" When God commanded his people to remember, he most often attached it to some kind of specific event, action, or object. It means something to the Lord for us to remember him. But what exactly are we to remember? Plain and simple. Plain and simple. What we are to remember is the faithfulness of God. Because God is always faithful. He is never not faithful. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. Even when we are unfaithful, he remains faithful because that's who he is. It is important that as followers of Jesus, we remember God's faithfulness. Now again, you might be asking the same question I ask myself. Why is this such a big deal? Out of all the things that I could think that Christ would call us to do, why would remember be one of those things? It's the same question I asked. And here's the reason. Why is it important to remember the faithfulness of God? Art, you've already said it this morning. It's because we have spiritual amnesia. We have spiritual amnesia. At least I do, anyway. So often in my life, I forget God's faithfulness. When the storms come, at least for me, it's easy for me to forget God's faithfulness. I focus on the storm, and I don't focus on Jesus. Anyone else like that in the house this morning? So you have spiritual amnesia too. I'm not a doctor. I can't like diagnose you, but I am a spiritual doctor in some degree, I guess. We have spiritual amnesia. And it's our pastor back home who kind of coined this phrase. And I love that he said it this way. Again, when life happens, more often than not for me, I turn to looking to my own strength to solve the problems. I focus so much on the things that are going around me, the things that are going wrong, or the bills that need to be paid, or whatever the situation is, just fill in the blank, that I forget God's faithfulness. And it's because I have spiritual amnesia. So, how do I try and remember God's faithfulness? This is what I do. I'm not saying that you need to do this, but I would encourage you to maybe do this or at least memorize this. Because I'm not the only one that has spiritual amnesia. The Israelites had spiritual amnesia. I mean, look at the book of Judges. It's all about their spiritual amnesia. God's doing all these great things, and then they start forgetting. They start forgetting about God and relying and trusting on Him, and then they start sinning and falling away, and then they do what everyone does, and they cry out to God because God has forgotten them. But He hasn't. We forget. And so then God would raise up a judge to deliver His people, and things would be good for a while, and then we'd go right back into this cycle. It happens in our daily lives all the time. God, we need You. Deliver us. And He does. He brings us through these things. And then when life is good, we forget. And then when life gets tough, we cry. God is faithful. He is faithful. So for me, how do I remember this? Well, there's a prophet in the Bible named Jeremiah. And he wrote a book called Lamentations. It's literally a book of lament. Of him crying out. And right smack dab in the middle of it, in Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah has been reminded of what is going to what's going to take place, what is currently happening in his life right now. The Babylonians have come. Their town is under siege. Many of his friends and even family have been taken into captivity. It is not a good time for the Israelites. And Jeremiah says this in Lamentations 3, 19 through 20. I remember, but I want you to notice what he remembers. I remember my affliction and my homelessness, the wormwood and the poison. I continually remember them, and I have become depressed. I am much like Jeremiah. That when life is crazy and things are happening, all that I can think about, all that I can focus on is the craziness, is the mess, is the problems, or the situation that I need help with. I'm much like Jeremiah. But then verse 21 comes in. And he says, yet I call this to mind. Or in other words, I remember. And what he's about to tell us that he remembers is going to be the solution to his problem. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have what? Hope. By remembering what he's about to tell us gives him hope. Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For His mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in Him. For Jeremiah, the thing that is giving him the most hope through one of the most terrible times in his life Bible scholars believe that when Jeremiah, when the people were taken from Jerusalem, his home, he never returned. More than likely, he was lived out his life in the wilderness or in captivity, and he never got to return home. But yet he never lost hope. Why? Because he remembered the Lord's faithfulness. He remembered that his mercies never end. He remembered that they're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This is how I try and remember God's faithfulness. Every single morning, I'm reminded that his mercies are new every day. I've committed these few verses to memory because I need them in my life. Again, so often I have spiritual amnesia. I can praise God and his faithfulness in 1 minute, and the next minute completely think my life is falling apart and there's nothing that I can do to save it. I need to remember his faithfulness. I need it. And you need it too. We need this in our lives. We need to remember the faithfulness of God. Now, this then begs the question, how do we do this? How do we practically remember God's faithfulness? Because as Art shared with us this morning, sometimes we remember it and sometimes we don't. Again, when God commanded his people to remember him, he also commanded them to do something with that remembrance. Again, whether it was a feast or a festival that they were to do every year or however often he subscribed it to, whether it was a particular place, altars are being built all the time in the Old Testament. Why? As a place of remembrance, because this is where God met me. You guys remember the story of Jacob and Bethel? God is in this, he is here in this house. Okay, and he set that stone up as a remembrance, and the well as a remembrance. I'm not even going to talk about circumcision. But that was done as a sign and a remembrance that the people belonged to God. So, how do we remember the faithfulness of God? I'm going to give you three encouragements on how you can begin or continue or at least show someone else how you can remember God's faithfulness practically and what I would argue every day. Which brings to our first one. I would encourage you to remember God's faithfulness daily. Remember it daily. Again, the Lord's mercies are new when? Every day. Every morning. And I'm so grateful for that because when I screw up, I'm reminded that his mercies are new the next day. We tell our kids this often. Buddy, today was today. Tomorrow's a new day. Because the Lord's mercies are new every day. Mommy and Daddy's mercies are new every day. And then they try the next day. But again, daily. Now again, I've already showed you this. How do we grow daily in the Lord? We surrender to him every day. We talk to him every day. We listen to him every day. I would encourage you, and I love what our pastor back home encouraged us to do as well, is to again to remember him every day. That as you are surrendering, and as you are talking to him, and as you are spending time in his word, you are constantly reminding yourself of him and his faithfulness. I mean, God encouraged Joshua to do this, that we need to meditate on his word day and night. David constantly was remembering God and his faithfulness through his good accolades and when he messed up. That's why he wrote down his songs, to remember God and his faithfulness. And so a couple weeks ago, we talked about prayer. This is kind of how I remember God's faithfulness through prayer every morning. Remember the Lord's Prayer? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Okay? Our Father in heaven. Okay, what are we doing when we start this way? We're talking to God, we're acknowledging him, okay? Your name be honored as holy. Remember, we start with God. We remember who he is. And that's why I was so blown away this morning through our time of worship. I couldn't even think, because I was just so overwhelmed by the reminder of who God is. That Yeshua song, I mean, took everything for me to just hold back tears, because I was like, God, I got to preach, please. Like, otherwise, I'd probably still be crying. We need to remember who he is. Because like I said a couple weeks ago, we are so easily forget who God is. I was listening to everyone worship, and I heard one lady say, holy, holy, holy. That's who he is. That's what he is. And we need to remember that. So as we're talking to God and we're praying, I'm reminding myself. So for me, it's, Father God, I need you. And I just, again, I remember who he is, that he is God and I am not. And I thank him that his mercies are new every day. That's where I insert this passage of scripture. I'm thanking him that his mercies never end and that he is faithful even when I am faithless. Your will be done. I'm surrendering to him. That part, give us this day our daily bread. What did Christ say? Man must not live on bread alone, but on what? Every word. And so I want to encourage you that you can begin doing this in your own life. And if you have been doing it, I praise God for that. And I want to encourage you to keep doing it. But I also encourage you to maybe take the next step and do this with somebody else. It's about discipleship. So daily, I want to encourage all of you to begin daily remembering God and his faithfulness. Because by daily remembering his faithfulness, when life happens, when those storms come, we're already preparing ourselves to remind ourselves that God is faithful. That he is faithful in the situation that we're in. Which leads me to my encouragement number two. As you are daily remembering God, I want to challenge you and encourage you to be specific. Be as specific as you can. God, it's about relationship, is it not? Be specific with him. God, I'm afraid. I'm afraid, God. I don't know what to do. I don't know what this next step is. But again, I'm reminding myself that his mercies are new every day. That when I am faithless, he is faithful. I'm remembering the promises that are in God's word. I'm being specific to the situation that I'm in, that although I might be afraid, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind, and that no weapon formed me will prosper. I'm speaking that over my life. Be specific. And as we become specific, when we're thanking God and remembering him for his faithfulness, we're remembering for his faithfulness the things that have happened in our past. Again, what's currently happening. And we're looking to his promises of the future. Because by remembering his faithfulness in our past helps us to become more thankful. How many of you want to be a more thankful person? I know I do. And it takes remembering God and his faithfulness in the past. Not just through what we see in scripture, but in our own lives. Again, specific. And again, right here, right now, right where you are, whatever it is that's going on in your life right now, remember God and his faithfulness. And as you do that, you will begin to grow trust in him. You begin to grow trust in him. Hindsight is always 20/20. If we knew what we knew when we were going through it, things would have probably looked different. Okay? But there's a purpose for the testing. There's a purpose for the trial. His word tells us this. I need to remind myself of that. That when we encounter various trials, we must count it as what? Joy. We need to rejoice when we're facing trials. And again, because of my spiritual amnesia, sometimes I'm not very rejoiceful. I need to be reminded of that. I need to be reminded of his faithfulness so that I can look back at how he was faithful to me, and it helps me build trust into the current moment that I'm in, and it helps me to look to the future, which is where there is hope. Again, Jeremiah says, "The Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him." We need to remember his faithfulness. So be specific. Be specific. Be honest and real with God. When you're remembering his faithfulness, remind yourself of how he's been faithful to you, how he's currently being faithful to you, and how he's going to be faithful to you when life happens again. Be specific. And lastly, make it practical. Again, when God commanded his people, he usually tied that command to remember to something. Again, a specific event, an action, a place. Be specific and be practical. I will give you just a few things that you could maybe do, some of these I do, on how you can be practical about how you remember God and his faithfulness. Okay, journaling. Okay, I talked about this last week with listen, right? As we approach God, how we hear from God from Scripture, I talked about this idea of SOAP, okay? The S-O-A-P, Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer, okay? It's a way I read the Bible, that as I'm reading God's Word and I come to him and I say, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening," and God speaks to me through his Word, I write down what he's said to me through his Word, I'm writing down what I'm observing God doing in the text, and I'm applying that to my life. I keep the journals. Megan, she's like, "Why do you have all these?" I was like, "So I can remember. I can go back and I can open up and I can see the things that God has spoken to me from years past, because maybe it has something to do with currently that I'm facing." Prayer journals. I mean, how many, we want to write our prayers down and the date in which we're praying, and then we write down when God answers those prayers. Again, why? So we can look back and see how God has been faithful. And we can look to the future that he will be faithful even in these unanswered prayers. So again, I would encourage you to journal. The notes that some of you are taking right now, I don't put those in there to keep you entertained or distracted. My intention and heart behind the notes is that you can have something to look back to as hopefully you're reflecting and meditating on what God might be saying to you through these messages. Again, the notes are there just to help remind you. Remember. So make it practical. Pictures. Right? We take pictures. Why? To remember. To remember. And so one of the things that Megan and I do is when God does something cool, I mean, she's constantly taking pictures. Not just so that we can watch our kids grow and things, but our kids, they're doing things that I'm not teaching them. It's only God through the Spirit. They're saying things and doing things, and we're taking video and pictures of these so that we can look back and be reminded on how God is being faithful to Megan and I through our prayer to help us raise our children in the ways of the Lord. And we're seeing the fruit and evidence of that, and we want to remember that fruit and evidence so that hopefully it can be a reminder to our kids when they get older. When you're out in nature, I mean, I do this. When we were moving here, and I brought my best friend with me to help me move, and we're driving through Stevens Pass, and we're going through Highway 2, he was just floored, awestruck at the majesty and the beauty that was around him. My favorite drive when I do drive to Seattle is when I'm crossing Lake Washington, and I look over my shoulder, and I see Mount Rainier. I do not lose the awe in that because God made that. Amen. Last night there were meteor showers, and every so often when Megan and I, we'd peek out our window just to see if we could see it. because there's beauty in God's creation. So we take pictures of the nature around us to remind us of God and his glory, to remind us of his beauty. Songs, I already mentioned David. The Psalms are literal songs and prayers that were written down. Now, I don't know if David realized or knew that God would want to keep that collection, but in his sovereignty, that's what God wanted. That's what God inspired and encouraged David to do, to write these songs, these prayers down, and all these other writers in the book of Psalms. Why? To remember. To remember. One of my favorite psalms, and I'll probably preach on it here sometime, is Psalm 13. And it's a psalm about David crying out to God and asking God if he forgot him. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But at the end of that psalm, David remembers who God is. He remembers his faithfulness. And it's what brings him hope. Tattoos. Now, parents, listen to me. This is not a call from your pastor. Children, I'm not telling you go out and get a tattoo. Okay? I don't have any tattoos. My wife, she's tough. She has a tattoo. Okay? My wife's tattoo is an Aramaic saying, and it says, Talithai kum. And it's from that story in the Gospels where the little girl goes to sleep, dies. And Jesus comes to her and says, get up, little girl. And there was a moment. Gosh. God is good. Early on in our marriage, before our marriage, where we were under some severe spiritual attack. Because I don't think God wanted this, or the devil wanted this to happen. And he was working hard to keep this from happening. And a friend spoke over her life. She didn't even really know this person at the time. And spoke those words into her life. And she has written them down 50,000 different times. And she wanted to make it a permanent reminder of her, of who she is in Christ. Little girl, arise. And it's a constant reminder. Our boys, mommy, what is that? And we have an opportunity to teach our kids about God and his faithfulness. My best friend Richard, he's tatted all over the place. Some he would say were his BC days, like he's got a grenade on his foot, and I'm like, what's that? He goes, I don't know, it's just a stupid day. But he has so many other things. His wife's name on his forearm. He has a sleeve that's dedicated to his mom who he lost. He has his dad's initials, who he lost last year, tatted on. Why? To remind God of his faithfulness and the people that God placed in his life to help him be who he is today. So parents, although you might be against tattoos, again, I'm not saying kids, go get a tattoo, but what I'm saying is people use things like tattoos to remind themselves of God and their faithfulness. And of course, communion. As I've already talked about, every month we do communion. And my hope is that it hasn't just become a thing we do, but that you take seriously the charge and the command that Christ gave us to remember him and his faithfulness. In fact, it's so important that Paul even gives us commands for the church on how we are to take communion, and that if he puts regulations on it, that even if you got stuff going on in your life, if you have a thing against your brother or your sister, leave your stuff at the altar and go take care of it. I mean, that's how important this is, that we remember Christ and his faithfulness, that we remember who God has called us to be. Again, these are just a few things. My encouragement to you is to find what works for you. I want to share with you this morning what Megan and I, what the Lawyers practically do to remember God and his faithfulness. Babe, can you bring that up? This is just a little box. $10, Amazon. We call this our box of remembrance. And inside this box are things that when God spoke or did something, and we knew it was God, we wanted to remember it. We wanted to remember it. And our practice is that at Thanksgiving, we open this up. And we let the kids pick something, or we pick something, and we talk about it. Because we've been collecting things throughout the year that remind us of God's faithfulness. And then when we come to a place like Thanksgiving, right, which is where you have to be thankful, right? That's the holiday, okay? We can look back on the year, and man, we've had some trying years. But he's been faithful in every single one, and in every single circumstance, and in every single season, he's been faithful. I just want to share a couple of those things with you, if that's okay. This one, where'd it go? This one's very special to me. It's that keychain that we handed out. I'm so grateful to be here and to be your pastor. It was totally God. Because there was stuff going on in my life when I wanted to quit. And I'm grateful and thankful for this church, who's a church that listens and hears from God, who prayed for the guy that said no. This reminds me of that. That God is faithful. He is so faithful. And I am so happy and proud to be a key part of this church family. So thank you. This one is a little more sillier. That's not it. Ah, here it is. This is a VIP pass from the Casting Crowns concert a year ago when they came to Spokane. My wife's birthday is in October. They came in October. And I was doing some shady things behind the scenes trying to figure out how I could score tickets. Okay? Like, I was, like, asking people for money. I was like, hey, if you do this, Mom, can you buy this? And or if I do this for you. Like, I wanted to get my wife tickets. Because Casting Crowns means something for my wife and I. One of my first concerts I ever went to after becoming a Christian for real was a Casting Crown concert. Little did I know that my wife was at the same concert. And when we started working together in youth ministry, she had Casting Crown stuff all over her desk and things, and it was their Thrive concert for their Thrive album. I was like, oh, I went to that concert. Oh, when did you go? I was there. Little did I know God was working, orchestrating this to be a thing. And so we wanted to remember that. But the concert, I mean, at the time, we had no money. We had nothing extra to spare. We couldn't do anything. And so for a week straight, my wife sat on listening to the radio, trying to win tickets. And I know it sounds dumb, but I prayed, God, would you please? I did all I could. I couldn't. I feel like I've let her down. Will you please help Megan get tickets? And as we went to her mom's to celebrate her birthday, it's just after 5 o'clock. We're giving away tickets. Caller number 3. And we're calling. I'm getting busy tones. And we did that for about 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, Megan's phone, she could hear the ring on the other side. It says, hello, who is this? It says, Megan. Megan, do you know what you are? Caller number 3. I know that sounds stupid. And I'm getting emotional over a little VIP pass. But God is faithful. I didn't just get my wife tickets. God got her tickets. And we sat in the front row. And it was one of the most... Please, hear me. This isn't like a prosperity gospel or name and claim it thing. This is just me being specific and real with God and Him answering a prayer. I think she still has the recording of when she was on the radio. This last one, and I'll try and keep this short. This is probably the most important one for me. Ministry is hard. And when you are called by God and you run from His call, things get messy. He might put you on a ship somewhere and a storm happens and you get thrown overboard and swallowed by a fish. And you know this about me. I, for years, as I've been in ministry, I never aspired to be a lead pastor. I'm just being real. I was fine with youth ministry. I love youth ministry. I love young adult ministry. I love Bible study, all of it. Never wanted to be the lead guy. But now that I'm standing here today, I can look back at times in my life where I realized God was getting a hold of me, preparing me for today. And one of those times happened 2 years ago in October. Something about October. I don't pray for October when it gets here, guys, because we. But I was getting ready for youth group. It was a Wednesday night. I was getting ready for youth group. And there were things that were happening in Megan and I's life. It was just life was happening. And it was hard. And I was failing to remember God's faithfulness. And I had a Psalm 13 moment with God. I was down in our church's fellowship hall. Again, I was getting ready for youth group, but I couldn't focus. I couldn't. There was just so much going on inside that I had no words. I'm calling Megan, and I'm talking to her on the phone for an hour, and I'm saying like four words because I don't have words to describe what I'm feeling. And so I got done talking to Megan, and then I just had one of those I'm going to let you have it God moments. Again, I call it my Psalm 13 moment. If you don't know Psalm 13, again, I want to encourage you to go home and read Psalm 13. It's very small. It's only like six verses. But, and I remember crying out to God. And I was loud. God, do you see me? God, do you care? God, I've been wrestling with you for so long about this specific thing that was going on. There was several things. I mean, I couldn't be as specific. I could try to be as specific as I could, but there was just so much. And I'm crying. I'm crying and yelling and because I just, there's so much inside. I mean, I was like fed up. Anyone else been there? And I remember, again, saying the words, God, I don't know how much more I can take. I feel like I'm done. I feel like you don't care. And I feel like you don't see me. And I'm yelling. And all of a sudden, I felt a presence behind me. And I turned around, and to the entrance of our fellowship hall are these two doors that have these glass cutouts. And there's a picture, there's a face there. And he's shocked. Probably because he could hear. And it was one of my youth kids named Jake. They were here when Freddie and his team were here. Jake and his mom sat right there. Tom, his dad, was on the, whatever you call those, congas. Is that what those are? And Jake's just standing there. And it's awkward. Because I know he heard what I said. And he knows that I see him. And so I just motion him to come in. And he comes in, and he was so nice. He just, this is for you. And he hands me this cup of coffee, okay? And on it is a scripture that was, okay? And where Jake was going to school, he was going to Valley Christian. It's a private school. October is traditionally Pastor Appreciation Month, so they were, this was an assignment. Okay, I'll just put it that way. Inside of it, it's like chocolates and dark roast coffee and hot chocolate and tea or something, apple cider, okay? And the little note that everyone got, all the pastors got, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up on the wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will not and become weary. Isaiah 40:31. Thank you for all you do. Man, was I humbled in that moment. He handed it to me. I gave him a hug. And as he was walking away, I noticed there was something else written on this cup. And it was Jake, because he has horrible handwriting. And he wrote, like this cup of coffee, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Psalm 55:22. In that moment, did I think that God cared? Did I think that God saw me? Absolutely. God saw me, and he used a youth kid to remind me that he sees me. Now, so often as the enemy does, when God does something, he tries to take it away instantly. So my flesh began to take place, and I had to know for sure that this was a God thing. So I went and hunted down every single cup of coffee that he brought, and there were 5 of them. Because I needed to know, God, was this you? 6 coffee cups. Only one had anything written on it. That was a reminder to me that God sees. That was a reminder to me that he cares. Cast your cares, your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. That was such a humbling moment for me that day. And I admit, there have been days where I have forgotten. But then all I do is I look at this cup. This cup doesn't sit in this box, it sits in my office. Because I need to be reminded that he is the one who sustains me. And so again, I don't say these things to be like, wow, Nick, you're so cool. I don't know if the Lord will ever give us VIP tickets ever again. And he doesn't have to. The point is, these are reminders of God and his faithfulness. This bulletin is the bulletin from when Megan and I just visited Mountain Valley Chapel. We knew there was something about this. I don't know what happened with it, but you get it. Again, did we talk about this or no?
No. I've been arguing with God for a couple of minutes. You told me to come up and interrupt me.
Oh, great.
So I'm trying to walk my faith. I have a brother at the back. His name is Dan. And Dan needs our prayers. Mm. He needs our prayers now. Mm. And so I need help from all of you to reach your hands out to Dan. Dan was one of the first people I met here. He helped train me on the door and stuff when Ronnie was stepping down. Mm. Dan, raise your hand, please. Can we all reach your hand out to Dan?
Yeah.
He needs our father, the healer. Mm. He needs Jehovah Rapha. Dan is a wonderful Christian man. And I need all your help with your prayers. Mm. This Christian warrior is having it. Mm. Mm.
Father God, thank you, Lord, for who you are. That as Scott was just saying, Lord, you are Jehovah. You are God. You are holy, and you are worthy of all praise. So, Lord, we come to you today and intercede for our brother Dan, who needs you this morning, Lord. God, I'm thankful for Scott and his willingness to trust you right now. Lord, we pray for Dan this morning. That whatever it is that's going on within him and around him, Lord, we entrust it into your care this morning in Jesus' name. We ask, Father God, for a divine healing, if it is healing that needs to take place, Lord Jesus. Father God, my heart is that we would be a people who would call on your name, that would humble themselves, seek your face, call on you, and you would hear and see from heaven, and you would answer, and you would heal our land, and you would heal the situations in our lives. So right now, Lord Jesus, we are calling upon you to do just that. Thank you, Father God, for our brother. And Lord, even as we're here this morning talking about remembering, Father God, I would pray right now that for Dan, he would be reminded of your faithfulness, that he would be reminded of your goodness, and that even in this little moment of Scott coming in faithfulness and obedience to you, Lord Jesus, he would be reminded of that. That there are people here who love and care for him, just as you love and care for him. So again, Lord, we pray for your covering. We pray for your healing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. Yeah, give God glory. Thank you, Scott. We need to remember God's faithfulness because we have spiritual amnesia. This is just what Megan and I do. When I wake up and I talk to my father and I pray Lamentations 3, 22 through 24, that's just what I do. This is just a model, some practical things that maybe would help and encourage you. We need to remember God's faithfulness, whatever that is for you. If it means you need to go out and get a tattoo, then go get a tattoo. But whatever it is, find a way to remember God's faithfulness. Remember his faithfulness because we need it in our lives. It reminds us of just how good God has been, to where we can be thankful. It helps us to trust him in the now, and it gives us something to look forward to in the future. It gives us hope. Again, Jesus said, if anyone hears my words and acts on them, they will be like a man who built their house on the rock. When the storms came, the winds blew, the house did not fall because it was built on a solid foundation. That foundation is Christ Jesus. Let us be a people that remember God's faithfulness. Let us be a people that help remind others of God's faithfulness. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I just want to thank you again, Lord, for who you are. You are faithful, God. God. I'm just, in my mind, I'm a horrible singer, but all I can think of is a song that came to my mind. Michael W. Smith's Forever. Forever, you are faithful. Forever, you are strong. Forever, you are with us. Forever. Thank you, Father God, that you are with us. Thank you that your word reminds us that you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that your word also reminds us that you work all things for good. Again, Lord, because of my spiritual amnesia, there are things that happen in my life and I sit there and question you. God, how can this be good? But God, you have never failed me yet. And you've never failed us yet. And you never will. Thank you that you are the faithful God. Help us, Lord, to remember your goodness. Help us to remember your faithfulness. And thank you, Lord, for Brother Dan in the back. Again, God, we just pray right now that you would intercede and provide his every need. Thank you, Father God, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mountain Valley Chapel. You guys are dismissed.